Welcome. This week, I'm delighted to welcome Ralph Steadman. If you're seeking a label for him, you'll probably have to call him a cartoonist, but I think that's a very inadequate piece of shorthand for a multi-talented visual artist and also a writer. Ralph is very much his own man, as I found out pleasurably when I once invited him to be the artist in residence at a literary festival I was directing. One moment, Ralph was dressing up as historical characters on stage, and the next, he was creating what he calls paranoids, doctored Polaroid pictures of some of our star participants at the festival. Very good it all was. And Ralph has also written an illustrated book about Freud, and he's now working on one about madness, art, and the history of the water closet. Ralph, welcome to Great Lives.
Oh, thank you very much.
Now, your choice of hero, why? I should say Übermensch, is the great German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who lived from 1844 until 1900, but who became insane very tragically in the last 10 years of his life. That was probably because he had syphilis. Now, Nietzsche was idiosyncratic and aphoristic, and his actual ideas are very hard to pin down. Nevertheless, over the centuries since his death, he's been taken up as an icon by people ranging from Sigmund Freud to Hitler. What you can say about Nietzsche is that he was ruthlessly skeptical about all intellectual and moral certainties. As he once put it,
there are no philosophies, only philosophers.
Ralph Steadman, why have you picked on Nietzsche?
Well, I think it was one of those hapchance occasions when I was reading through just about anything you pick off a shelf and came across one of Nietzsche's sayings, which was, "We possess art, lest we perish from the truth." And I thought, I'm in that with what I'm trying to do. I want to do that. And the other is, which really pleased me, was he said, "It is only as an aesthetic phenomenon that existence and the world are permanently justified." And for that, he put the human race down for me, which is where I wanted them to be, because they've always been culturally constructed to be superior to animals, and I don't believe that. He is the artist's philosopher. He was a Dionysian philosopher. He believed in the one for the sensual, the Bacchanalian approach to life, and yet he wasn't that sort himself. Well, I was always surprised by the dourness of his persona. He had this shock of black hair that is a caricaturist dream, and also this wonderful moustache that would have made Charlie Chaplin look like a mouse with one, you know.
It's just like a sort of broom, isn't it?
It was more than a broom, actually. It was a gathering of the clans.
But he's had a bad press, hasn't he?
Yes, enormously. I just think that he's so open, so ripe for misquotation, that he has been the most misused, tragic figure of 20th century culture and politics.
And one of the consequences of this was that Goebbels took over Nietzsche. Here is Goebbels quoting Nietzsche.
Du gehst deinen Weg der Größe. Das muss dein bester Mut sein, dass es hinter dir keinen Weg mehr gibt. Jetzt muss das Mildeste an dir noch zum Härtesten werden. Wer sich schont, der kränkelt zuletzt an seiner Schonung.
Well, that was Goebbels giving a speech on New Year's Eve 1942 and quoting Nietzsche, and it meant, "You are on your way to greatness. It needs all your courage because there is no way back. Now the weakest must become the strongest. Being easy on yourself will corrupt your soul. Let us praise what makes us strong." Well, our Nietzsche expert here on Great Lives is Adam Janeski, who's a poet and translator, and who in a previous existence was teaching philosophy at the University of Greenwich. Do you think that the Nazi appropriation of Nietzsche like that was just totally misrepresenting him, or did they have some justification for taking him over?
Well, in essence, it was a complete fabrication. His sister and various Nazi ideologues compiled anthologies of Nietzsche's thought in such a way as to indicate that indeed he was a rabid anti-Semite, that he worshipped naked power, that he was for hardness in the way that Goebbels insists, and of course Hitler did. But in essence, Nietzsche was the very opposite. He hated his own people. He thought the Germans were stupid, their philosophy was awful. He castigated them for anti-Semitism. He praised the Jewish population in Germany. Of course, in those days, talk in terms of race was everywhere. So it was, as it were, natural for Nietzsche to, on the other hand, praise the French. And indeed, he thought of himself and was proud of it that he was Polish by origin, and he thought the Poles were like the French in their wit and nobleness and everything else. However, there is a kind of aggressiveness about Nietzsche's thought. He philosophized with a hammer, as he said. He was for the Superman, the Übermensch, and he was anti-democratic, despised the crowd. In essence, you could see certain elements which the Nazis, of course, elaborated and made use of. They themselves had no serious philosophical thoughts to help them in the way that the Marxists could rely on Marx and Hegel and Lenin. So I'm sure that the Nazis found him a very useful foundation to work on, however misappropriated it happened to be.
Ralph Steadman, what do you feel about this?
It was laid open, I think it was with the help of his sister Elizabeth, whom in fact he did love till the end of his life, and she adored him, took his work, and with the help of her husband then, Richard Forster, they went to Paraguay to form the New Germania, took his anti-Semitic views and married them with anything that Nietzsche said.
Yeah. Listen to me, because that's how I am. That's me. Don't mistake me for what I'm not. For instance, I'm definitely not a bogeyman, not an immoral monster. Just read what I've written.